Well, before we turn to Hebrews, we need to read some verses from Genesis. So if you would like to turn to Genesis and chapter 17. Genesis 17. We're going to read a few excerpts and some chapters, not too many, but enough so we get a picture. So in chapter 17, we'll start reading the first two verses. Let us hear the word of God. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. And if you drop to verse 15, then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her, and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed, and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Then God said, no, Sarah your wife shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with him, with his descendants after him. And then in fact what we'll do is if we turn to chapter 18, please. And we read the first verse. Then the Lord appeared to him, that's Abraham, by the terebinth trees of Mamre, as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. And if you read verse 10, and he said, that is the Lord, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah your wife shall have a son. Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I've grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child, since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. And then if you can turn to Genesis chapter 21, this will be our last reading in Genesis. And we read the first seven verses. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. She also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And if we turn to the Epistle of the Hebrews and the 11th chapter, we read the first two verses. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. And then we read about Sarah in verses 11 and 12, and this will be our text as the Lord helps us tonight. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Well, the Lord bless the reading of his word, and may he help us as we study it. It's good to see you on this warm evening. It's good to gather together as the Lord's people before him and consider another aspect of faith. And our study tonight focuses on this. Sarah, faith triumphs over doubt. Sarah, faith triumphs over doubt. We know the epistle was written to these Hebrew Christians. They were being tempted under great pressure to downgrade who Christ really was, that he wasn't the true Son of God, that he wasn't the high priest who they could turn to alone, that he alone wasn't their sacrifice, that they needed to turn back and do something with the law of God. They needed to add law, their obedience of it, to their so-called faith. And they're under real persecution. They were wavering a bit. And the writer, I think it was the Apostle Paul, but the writer has written to them. And he's encouraging them in different ways. And our first heading tonight, as we look at verse 11, is difficulty. Difficulty. Because we read that Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age. She needed strength because she had none of her own. In Genesis 11:30, we're going to consider some things about Sarah now for our instruction. We're told that she was barren. She couldn't have children. She's a very beautiful lady. That appears in one of the chapters in Genesis. She'd married Abraham, who ended up being a very wealthy man. And yet she had this great heartache in her life. She just could not have children. And yet Abraham was given the promise in Genesis 12:2, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. And then later on, in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So we've got this beautiful but barren woman who can't conceive children, and not for want of trying. We've got Abraham when he's 75 years old, and we know from Scripture there was a 10-year age gap, so Sarah would have been 65. And they obey God's promise, Abraham does, to leave for Canaan, which would become the promised land. But then we see there was an issue, and this is why Sarah ran into difficulty. This is why her strength began to run out. And we look at some things here. There was a big delay. In Genesis 16, we read that they'd lived for 10 years in the promised land. So imagine that. Abraham is 85, she's 75. The biological clock is well and truly ticking or ticked. I know she lived as she was 127, so I don't know what she would have looked like. I don't know if this is the equivalent of her being 50 or 60, but she was an old lady, 10 years. And there's this promise, and nothing seems to be happening. And so she becomes disobedient. She tries to think, well, I must fulfill God's promise myself. I must make it happen myself. And this is after two separate confirmations from the Lord to Abraham that he's going to fulfill his promise. He's going to do his word. And we read in Genesis 16 these words. Then Sarai, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband Abraham to be his wife, after Abraham had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. So he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. So what happened is, Sarah thought, well, I know how we'll have this special child. I will send my maid into my husband Abraham. It'll be like me going in there, because she's my maid, and there'll be a child and everything will be fine, and then the promise will be fulfilled. I must make it work myself. When her maid went in there, as soon as she knew she was pregnant, as some weeks went by and Hagar knew she was pregnant, immediately she despised her mistress. And we're going to look at some of these things here briefly and then draw them together for the lesson, so do bear with me. That led, secondly, to despair, a further weakening of her strength. She fell into despair. Imagine this, she can't conceive. She thought she'd come up with a solution. Her maid despises her. As you know, she sent her away after a while because she was so proud and haughty, and yet the Lord mercifully brought Hagar back to her. Every day she's being reminded that she can't have children, and Hagar has had a child, and the boy's getting stronger every day. It doesn't appear he is the chosen one. Well, time carries on, and it gets to the stage where Abraham is now 99 years old. This is 24 years after he's left Haran. Sarah is 89. Abraham's described in the text as good as dead. I wonder how you're feeling if you're Sarah at this stage. Abraham's money hasn't helped her with the one thing she really wanted, a little baby, a baby boy in particular, so the line would continue. Her beauty, she's still beautiful, but is fading by now. She sees this teenage Ishmael, who was the maid's son, who's not going to be the chosen heir, getting bigger and stronger every day. They're living in the land in tents, very comfortable lifestyle, but in tents, moving around. She must be thinking, what is going on? How is this going to happen? Where's the promise going to be fulfilled? And she's given up pretty much by this stage, because when the Lord appears to Abraham, and he tells Abraham, look, in a year's time, or about this time next year, I'm going to come and Sarah's going to fall pregnant. Abraham laughs. Now, Abraham is described in Romans 4:20, I won't read the verse, as a man that's very strong in faith. And he'd been strong in faith, you know, most of the time. But it shows even the strongest can have doubts. When Sarah hears about this, she just laughs. She just thinks this is ridiculous. She's given up on the promises of God. She can't see them working out in her life. She'd fallen into great doubt, almost cynicism. We can get like that, can't we? And also, I just wonder if Abraham's conduct contributed a little bit to her doubt. He was a very godly man. Scripture makes that clear. But before this, there'd been a situation where they were in Egypt because of a famine, and Abraham was worried, because Sarah was so beautiful, that he would be killed and that she would become someone else's wife. So if you look at scripture carefully, he persuaded his wife, look, you tell everyone you're my sister. Well, that was half true. They shared the same father, but not the same mother. You wouldn't marry your half-sister now. Things were different back then. I won't waste time on that. God would forbid that shortly afterwards in the Levitical law. And I wonder how that made Sarah feel when Pharaoh came along and he caught her eye and he took her into the palace. Thankfully, he didn't lay a hand on her, because God sent such plagues. In the next chapter, before the Lord visits Sarah, the next chapter which we read, in between this promise, when the three men appeared to Abraham at Mamre and then it's actually fulfilled, there's another instance with Abimelech. And Abraham panics and does the same thing again and says, oh, say you're my sister. And there's an incredible scripture, this is going off track a bit, where the Lord speaks to King Abimelech and says, you're as a dead man. He's got his hand of protection on this woman. So I wonder what Sarah thought of Abraham at times, thinking, well, you are a great man of God, but you're very flawed. You're supposed to protect me. And I wonder, lastly, if she had something of a guilty conscience over the Hagar episode, which had all gone wrong. So there's this lady, a troubled lady. Now let's start to draw some of these things together. This has been written to the Hebrews. Their situation seems dire to them. There's Sarah, this old lady. Impossible for her to have children, humanly speaking. The promise seems to have gone wrong. God's word doesn't seem to be working out. She's got massive doubts, cynical. The Hebrews are like this because of the persecution they're facing. The false teachers seem so plausible. They're undermining their faith in Christ. They feel weak like Sarah did. They've got doubts like Sarah. Things seem to be delayed. Perhaps they thought, well, I'm a Christian now. Everything's going to be wonderful. And Christ is going to come back soon. And his kingdom's going to be here. And it's all going to be wonderful. And they've got persecution. And they're wondering, well, is this right? And they're being tempted to turn away from the true Christ, to be disobedient like Sarah, maybe make up their own fulfillment of the promise. And friends, we can get like that, can't we? God moves at his own time with his promises in our life. And sometimes his providence is very mysterious, it's very painful, as it was for Sarah. Sometimes we can have doubts about our own salvation, how God's word applies to us in our life, and the devil can subtly undermine us, and we think, well, is it as simple as this? Did I really just trust in Christ? Is that it? Do I need to do anything else? We look at the sin in our life. We look at the state of the church, and we look at the many enemies of the church now. Sin seems to ride on a winged horse these days, doesn't it? Growing ever stronger with even more fantastical breaking of God's law, where even logic and reality seems to be bent with some of these strange agendas out there. We can look and say, well, is it even worth evangelizing? Is it actually anything going to come of this? Nothing seems to be happening. Everything seems to be delayed. Well, like Sarah, we don't have the strength within us ourselves. She didn't have the strength. It was impossible for her to conceive a child. And we don't have the strength to accomplish God's promises. We don't have the strength within ourselves to fulfill our own plan of salvation, which the Lord has bestowed upon us. Now, how does she know? Our second heading is, and I'll move through this a little bit quicker, deliverance. Well, she did bear a child, didn't she? God's promise came true. Now, why was that? It says in verse 11, because she judged him faithful who had promised. What does that mean? Well, it came to a point, by the grace of God, where she looked at her life, which seemed so hopeless and over, and God's promise seemed not to apply to her, especially about having a child, dwelling in the tent with her elderly husband, seemingly beyond all human means, which it was, for this child to come. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, she looked at that situation and thought, no, God has said. And what God has said will come true. He will do it. And there's a great lesson for us here, isn't it? A very simple thing, that this is what faith is. We were told at the beginning that it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. She was hoping for this little boy. Now she's an old lady with an even older husband. They'd tried for decades to have children and nothing. The promise wasn't coming true. And she looked above that to the God who had issued the promise, the God who had given his word, and she was brought by the grace of God to rest in that. And that is the great lesson for us, isn't it? We apply this just thinking particularly of Sarah, her barrenness. In a subtle way, the writer is saying to these Hebrews, don't move away from Christ. You are barren spiritually. You can do nothing yourself. If you move away from Christ, and this is his way to keep them united to Christ, because a true believer will never truly move away from Christ. But he's making the point, you can't work up your own salvation with the law, just like Sarah couldn't work up a child. She couldn't conceive a child. You must rest in Christ. You need something from without yourself. You need to rest in the unseen high priest. You need to rest in his great sacrifice. You need to rest in the fact that it's his righteousness which is credited to your account. God looks at him. All these things you can't see, Hebrews, just like Sarah couldn't see this little boy that would come. And friends, we can't see, certainly we look at ourselves, we cannot see any righteousness. But we look to our unseen high priest and we can see that. We rest in God's word. It might seem incredible sometimes when we look at the state of ourselves. Secondly, we cannot see the strength we need to walk the pilgrimage which God has set us. We can't see it. In fact, it's not there. You and I have not got a whole store of grace to get through this life. But we have got a great high priest who bids us come, and he'll give us grace and mercy in time of need. Hebrews 4:16. But we can't see it. And the writer is saying to the Hebrews, look, you're under the cosh. You're being persecuted. Your faith's been undermined. God will bring you through this. But rest on his word. Don't look at the situation. Look at the Lord. Look what he did for Sarah. There will be delays. It won't happen quickly. And we have to heed that warning ourselves, that encouragement ourselves, don't we? You might be in a particular situation, think this is impossible to carry on in this situation, day after day after day. I thought all things were supposed to work together for good, because I'm a Christian. And it seems the complete opposite. All things are working together for a complete nightmare for me, like it was for Sarah, elderly, beyond hope. We look at the state of the world, we won't go over it again, and think, well, it seems impossible to do any good. And yet, the apostle would say to us, look at Sarah, against all odds, in an impossible situation, God always kept his word. And so, we keep with our spreading of the gospel in the various means we do, in a wicked world, greatly outnumbered, very weak. We ignore all the false teachers that are out there and their ludicrous claims. But we leave it to God to decide when he's going to bless. We rest in the promises that he's building this unseen kingdom and one day he's going to bring it to fruition. Well, lastly, Sarah knew delight because she bore a child, and she said she laughed. This time she laughed for joy. Before she laughed in cynicism. But this time she laughed for pure joy and said, everyone will laugh with me. They'll laugh and say, I can't believe it. The old lady, she's had the baby. All her life she's been trying for a child. Well, we will know delight. We know that delight when we rest alone in Christ. That joy and that peace that our sin is forgiven. She knew, she didn't know it, but God took that delight and he expanded it. And from Abraham, who was as good as dead, as scripture says, in quite a almost humorous way, but a very straight way, millions were born. Do you know that 400 years after this event, just the men and the children of Israel numbered 600,000? That's not including the women and children. If you were to fast forward a few more generations to David, you would read that the men that were aged 20 and over, that were old and fit enough to go to war, numbered 1.5 million. And that didn't include two of the tribes, because Joab said it was a great sin to number them, plus women, plus children. And how much it's grown through there. And yet it would grow even more, wouldn't it? Because through this promised seed, through this line of Abraham and Sarah, eventually Jesus, the promised seed, would come. And Abraham, before she died, was brought to look for that promised Messiah, and she was resting in him. And through him, Jesus is now to be preached to all nations. And over the centuries, how many have come to know Christ through all the nations? The Lord says it's a number no man can number. And so we look at, here we are at Mount Sinai. It's probably, 25 of us here tonight. It's good to be gathered before the Lord. Maybe we get 50 and 60 on a Sunday morning, but tiny, a little drop compared to the 100,000 that live in Ashford. And yet the Lord would say, don't you worry about numbers. Just think what I did with that old couple and how vastly that's multiplied. What I want you to do is not be counting the numbers. I want you to be faithful. Continue labouring in Sunday school. Continue labouring in youth group. Continue labouring on the coffee morning. Continue in your conversations you have with people. I want you to trust me that when things seem absolutely dire, I am building invisibly my everlasting kingdom. And one day I'm going to return, and then you'll see that number which no man can number. It's interesting, isn't it? Abraham and Sarah never saw any of this, really. They saw a little bit. She lived for another, I think it was 37 years. Isaac would have been 37 when she died, and she saw Isaac have Jacob, a little family. Little did she know what the Lord would do. Who knows what the Lord will do, what he's done already, what he will do during our lifetime, in the lifetimes to come. But what a terrible thing if those Hebrews had fallen back and drawn back, thinking it doesn't seem to be working out, not knowing that the gospel would explode around the world. And so the Lord says to you and I tonight, look, do not be fazed by the huge masses of the ungodly all around you and the wickedness they say. I am working out my promise. Lastly, there's one thing you don't read about Sarah. To illustrate the wonder of God's grace, we've looked at some of her faults. But scripture there doesn't record that. Doesn't record her struggles. It just says, by faith. That's a lovely picture, isn't it? For us tonight, when we come to leave this life, the Lord looks at one thing. Did he give us the gift of faith? And perhaps like Sarah, with doubts, disobedience, even at times despair over God's delay in various areas of our life. We have trusted in Christ, but we've taken the long way round, and indeed we take the long way round on our pilgrimage. But he said, I just see someone that's trusted in my Son, and they'll be gathered before me on that great day when I come again with that number which no man can number. Well, we take these few somewhat scattered thoughts, and may that encourage us with the God who does to us what seems impossible. Amen.